Paul had Barnabas, Silas. Peter had the other disciples. Somehow God chose Tom Burton for me. So thank God. I appreciate each one today and your prayers. I want to tell you this. Folks that have gone and done missions here at our church, there are times that you feel physically can feel the prayers of the church. And I want to tell the church today that this was one of those times that I knew my church was praying for me. Tom and I was talking one night, or maybe it was early in the morning. I can't remember, but it was right after church was over. But we were talking one night, and Tom said, "My land, Fuzz," he said, "I just don't know that I've ever heard you preach as good." And I told him, I said, "The church, I can feel the church's prayers while I'm preaching. And I just am indebted to you for your prayers and how wonderful that it was." And I'm going to tell you all this. It's been a long time since I'd preached a revival by myself. And I've had one night off since I preached to you the last time. So I am kind of a little tired. Physically, I'm a little tired. But I'll tell you, spiritually, I just feel like I could jump over this building today. So I'm going to rely on the Spirit this morning to preach to you and share with you God's Word. And I do appreciate your prayers. It don't seem like that's enough for me to just say it. I don't know if you feel what I appreciate your prayers. I don't know any other way. If somebody comes up with a better way for me to say I thank you, please let me know. I need that. But I appreciate you praying for me and praying for the revival and the inroads that I saw God plow in this revival is just unreal. I tell you, I saw God work in people's lives. And I'll just give you one example, and then I'll give you my scripture reading. Of course, you all know that I've worked in Jamaica for since early 2000, and I have formed friendships and things like that. I've butted heads with some folks in Mount Vernon. I want you to know that folks there are like they are here. You know, there's some folks that it's just hard for you to get along with. But there is a person there on the mountain in particular, her and I, several years ago, had a disagreement about the Lord and what the Scripture said. And I promise you, I've spoke to her in years that I've went. And the last 3 or 4 years, I would speak to her. I mean, to her face. It wouldn't be one of them passive things, how you doing, you know. I'd make a point to speak to her, and she would ignore me. And I want to tell you all, Thursday night in that revival she came for, what a great time. Just her and I had. And the fellowship was renewed. And the spirit was renewed. And I don't care where you're at in the world. That's revival. When people come together. That's just one example of what God does. Thousands of I can tell you. I know one of Donna's good friends, Tashika. She had been out of church for 4 or 5 years. And she came and renewed her covenant with the Lord. Maybe Ray and Tammy remembers the young girl that was our Nettie. That was KK. She came and renewed her covenant. Had been out of church for years and came and renewed her covenant with the Lord. I tell you, that's what it's about, folks. Yeah. And Brandon opened up so wonderfully this morning with edification, helping each other, building each other. Listen, let's don't hold on to these old things that drags us down. But let's go forward for Christ. And it's just a wonderful time. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Tom went with me. He was just my encourager, and I appreciate him so much. And thank God. I do want to say this. We were eating one day, and OB said something to Tom. Of course, Tom didn't understand him. And Tom looked over me and said, "What did he say?" So I told Tom what he said, and then I only spoke, said something, and Tom didn't get that either. I told him, I said, listen, I'm tired of being y'all's interpreter. Y'all need to work some stuff out. But about the time I said that, my mind went back to all these years that I've went on missions, and I've depended on my interpreter so much. And I just thank God. Thank God. So I tried to interpret all that I could. Ricardo was preaching one night. Tom told me after church one night, he said, I can't understand what these people say, but he said, it's awesome. But the Holy Spirit's that way. You don't have to listen. The Holy Spirit's universal. It speaks every language. And it was just that way, and we had a good time. I do want to tell y'all, Ricardo, y'all know Ricardo, he was here in the fall. Bert, some of y'all kids might know him by his nickname, but he was exhorting one night, and of course, you can't speak in church in Jamaica without a microphone. Everybody, you know, you can have a word to say, but you're going to wait on that mic, you know. I guess the Holy Spirit there has to be amplified. I don't know, but you can't say anything without a mic. One night we had preaching outside on the street. We had a street service, which is my favorite. I love preach outside anyway. And the mic kept getting feedback to it, so I just laid the mic down. And everybody, I watched everybody in church. I just looked at the mic for about 2 minutes. It just happened to be. But Ricardo was exhorting one night, and I tell you, our young men there, you all would have been so proud of our young men leading the services and things. And Ricardo was preaching, and we get in a rhythm, but they get in a rhythm. They almost sing a song when they're exhorting. And of course, you all that have been there know that. But I was listening to Ricardo and what he was saying, you know, and it was just uplifting the church and uplifting the Lord. And Ricardo said this, and I know God's going to let me use this in preaching one of these days. I don't know when, but he's going to. He said, when I get this mic, I'm a fool for Christ. And I thought, man, well, it was almost like a rap song, you know. I was going, huge hell. So let's be fools for Christ when we get the mic, you know. So it just was excellent. Now, everything was good, and the work was good, and God just blessed us and helped us. I'm going to read today in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I would, but for time's sake, I would read this whole chapter, but I want to challenge you to do it. I want to send out a special thanks while you're finding that James 2. Brooke has been putting the messages on Facebook, so if you know somebody at Miss Church or something like that and you want to share with them, people say, well, how was church? Well, you can tell. Say, well, you can listen for yourself. And I appreciate Brooke for doing that. But I do want to put, Jonathan, I appreciate the message you preached last Sunday night so much. Well, we need to, I listened to that in our airport Monday morning while I was waiting to get on the plane. And I thought, boy, we need to be ambassadors for Christ. And how in depth you went in that. I tell you, I thank God for Jonathan and Brooke and Mark and Misty. I appreciate them so much. I really do. I used to go on mission trips. The Lord called me on mission trips, and I'd just have to call preachers to come in and preach to you. But I'm so thankful that God has grown our church in the way he has. I can just go now, and I know the gospel is going to be preached. And I know you all probably are thankful when I do leave and get a break. But I'm just so, I tell you, I was just so impressed. But don't the word of God impress you? It does me over and over again. Chapter 2, James. I'm going to begin reading about the 14th verse, if you would like to read with me. And I'll try to read quickly. I've got several verses here to read. I'm going to read a lot today and preach a little. How's that? That work, everybody? But verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works. Notice your punctuation in that sentence. What do you get there? He asked you. As James wrote this, he was asking the church a question. What is our profit if we say we're going to do something and we don't follow through with it? Do we gain anything? Oh, see, if that worked, I could go, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire. And it would just work. I'd be one. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's not the way it works, though. James asks us to answer our own question here. Can faith save him? Because I say I have faith, does that make me righteous? Or does it make me religious? Or what? Does it make me anything? Well, no, we all know that. But listen to what the scripture says in 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and what of you saying to them, depart in peace, be ye warned and fulfilled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body? What does it profit? He asked you a question again. Listen, if your neighbor needs something, praise God, and you have it and you fail to give it to him, then God's keeping a record of those things. I'm going to tell you, that even goes, I can show you in the scripture, that even goes to a kind word. That's a small thing to do, ain't it? But God even requires his people to offer encouragement when it's needed. Sometimes people are just destitute in spirit, and they need somebody to kind of turn them around and point them in the right direction. Maybe they're following the wrong path, and they need a brother or sister that knows they're on the wrong path, recognizes it, and corrects them in love. Not in meanness, but in love. Says, pray for me. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith. How? By my works. Now we're talking about something. Now we're talking about what God wants us to be. So listen, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. And the devils also believe. Listen to me. Praise God. You can stand up and say, I believe in Jesus all you want to. I'm going to tell you this. Lucifer himself believes in Jesus. But is he going to heaven? No, sir. The Bible says that one day he will be condemned and hell and the devil and death and all of these things will be cast into a lake of fire, don't you? Well, don't think yourself being well because then you say, I believe in God. Well, the devils believe in God. And the Bible says that tremble.
Yeah.
Praise God. He is all powerful. I'm going to read one more verse. Then I may go back and go forward. I don't know. But verse 20, it says, but will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. You can be seated. I am going to contend with you today that we're eat up with people that are full of faith but have no works. Amen?
Yeah.
Or as some of you folks might like it, I don't know, Tom might like it this way today. Praise the Lord. Well, there you go. Praise God. As Tom said, I just left the church where everybody gets involved. So I thank God for this today that I can say all manner of things. I can say I'm good. Does that mean I'm good?
No.
I'm going to say this. And the scripture doesn't give us an option. He says love everybody. Praise God. God teaches us in His Word that we should have a genuine love for everybody. We should have a desire to serve God. I'm going to tell you this today. I don't love God for maybe the same reason you do, or you might say, I love Him because He does this. And I might say, I love Him because He does that. But I'm going to tell you, we're all going to come to the final point is we love Him because He first loved us.
Yeah.
And God does love you. I want you to know that. And the Bible says, praise God, because of His great love being expounded to us, we should pass it forward.
Yeah.
The church's job is to carry the love of Jesus Christ to this world. And you can have all the faith you want to. Well, somebody will tell them. God might be calling you to tell them.
That's right.
And I love the Baptist faith. I just love how that we are so good. And we've turned it into an art. Well, you know, preacher, I'm not the Sunday school teacher. Well, then we're exempted from teaching. We don't have to teach. Yeah, see, DJ might be sitting here this morning and he'd say, well, I'm not a teacher in the church. Yes, but you was called to work the vineyard.
Yeah.
David might say, I've just been coming to church here for just a little while. Well, that's a good excuse, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm not been coming as long as Ray has. Well, I'm not required. But that's not what the Scripture said. Because the fact of the matter is, the Scripture said this. We become a part of the church of the living God when we're saved.
Yes.
When we accept Jesus. When we acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of our life. We become a part of the church. Now, whatever shingle it is, that don't much matter. I don't think God really pays a whole lot of attention to Beer of Church as a name. I believe He just looks and sees His people.
Yeah.
And when we call upon Him, He shows up. And if we don't call on Him, we walk. Brethren said it so wonderfully today in opening our Sunday school today. Listen, praise God. How many of us come to church, praise God, wanting to be edified? Or how many of us come wanting to be a blessing to somebody else, want to edify somebody else? Listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. When we carry the mantle of Jesus Christ, our words tells the world what we are, not what we say.
Yeah.
Back several years ago, this TV evangelist, when I was a young person, he said he went out into the tower of prayer that they had on their campus there and said he prayed for $1 million. Am I right? Oral Roberts was his name.
Yeah.
$1 million, or was it 8 million? Something. It was a lot of money. And he prayed for that. I always kind of thought like this. If you really want a miracle, God send me $20 and let me do $8 million worth.
Yeah, it'll work.
See, God can go around the world with nothing. But what's so incredible about it is He can send you around the world with
nothing.
God can do anything He wants to. But you know, the only thing that God needs is He needs the will of the people.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know why He chose that either. I don't know how He chose the church to be the ambassadors to the world, Jonathan. But that's what He chose. And that's the way He chose it. And that's the only way it works.
I've saw people down through my life, they'll say, well, I'm going to do this independent of the church. I don't see any of those people anymore. What happened to them? David
said this, in God we have our being. We are in Him, praise God. We can't be a separate entity. We must work together. God called the church together. God called men together, praise God. And if we do anything, we'll do it under the banner of Jesus Christ, head of the church, praise God.
Amen.
We do anything. sitting and talking about it won't get it done. It will not get it done. They debated for years where to put the Ten Commandments up at the courthouse and I put them up.
Yeah.
Quit talking about it. I'm sick of being empty words, aren't you?
Yeah.
Praise God. Oh, we're going to do this. You're not doing anything toward that. Praise God. Listen to me. I'll tell you what you'll become when you have faith without works. You'll become that fellow that sits in the church house and fusses about what everybody else is doing. That's who you'll become. You'll say, oh, well, I would do this, or I would do that if it wasn't for so-and-so. Listen, if God's calling you to work, you better get busy, or he'll give your work to somebody else.
That's right.
I've saw people sit around on church pews at Tammy Thompson with their lips stuck out for years because they refused to do what God wanted them to do. God said, here, I'll just give it to somebody with me.
Yeah.
I've heard this in church. They do everything. They might be willing to do everything. When you get on your knees and say, God, I can give you scripture. Scripture always works better anyway. Isaiah went into the temple. About the sixth chapter of Isaiah, you can read this. He went into the temple. And he was going in with a spirit of, he was going to demand an answer from God. Let me tell you where you're going to wind up when you get in that frame of mind, on your face. You mark down my words, that's where you're going to wind up. Oh, God, I want an answer. Mark down the words, you're going to get to meet the ground. And Isaiah went in with that attitude. You can read the scriptures. You can read the first five chapters of Isaiah. Isaiah sounded like a disgruntled Baptist.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, Israel sees. Israel is that. Israel has denied. Israel. That never was Isaiah. But the sixth chapter, it became Isaiah.
Yeah.
Praise God. When God shook the foundation of a house that he was standing in, and the doorposts rattled, praise God. Isaiah got up off of his face and he said, it's me. Here am I, Lord, seeing me. He wasn't worried about what everybody else was doing when he had an encounter with God. Listen, when God works in your life, he'll always be you.
Yeah.
God don't tell Mark Mallory, hey, I want you to go and tell Fuzzbrake. Mark's like I am. He does the best he can do with himself. I don't know what God's got for you. But I do know this, you talking about it won't get it done.
That's right.
You know what you do? You can pray about a problem for 1,000 years. But if you don't make no effort, Tom Burton, you'll never know. You'll never know what God can do in your life. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Bureau of Church, I'm going to tell you something. We do more than we're doing. I know somebody's going to say, well, we're having scheduling problems now. That's what some of you just say. But we can do more. God's given us more to do more with. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. We're not that little old church that used to have 45 people anymore, right? We had that little church got 100 people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about active people that are at church about every week. Praise God. Now I'm going to ask you the question, when are we going to exercise the faith that God has given us to be the ambassador, John, that he wants us to be not for fear of church, but for the kingdom of God?
Amen.
One year, Lori told me, said, Fuzz, what 1 year in missions, I done 59 days outside the country in a year. And Lori, my wonderful wife, she said, Fuzz, you do remember you pastor a church, don't you? some years and all that. You know, last year, I never done one day up until Christmas. It was right before Christmas. But I went, I went over a year without going on missions. It's funny, the Lord never come and said, hey, you ain't been on missions in a while, you might ought to start praying. But I'm going to tell you, if we'll let God lead. Now, I didn't have intentions of going back to Jamaica until July when I left over after OB's ordination. But see, I always got a plan. Are you flexible enough to let God deal with, work with you, deal with you, and move in your life? Are you that flexible? Or is your schedule, is it solid? But I'm going to tell you this. If you can't move for God, he probably is not going to move. My mother told me something years ago. I'm going to share with you. It's a little bit hard, but now my mama, she's a little different than my mama. My mama didn't coddle a lot. When she did, you remembered it, but my mother just raised boys. You know. Boys are different. Good whack upside the head, you know, help them a lot at the time. My mother, she wasn't a coddler. She didn't coddle me up a whole lot and things like that. I knew she loved me. And if I didn't know that, she'd get away and whip me until I did love her. You know, that's what kind of mother I had. She tells me after sometimes, she says, you want to say that stuff, right? Thank God, I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for my mother. I'm telling you right now, I thank God my mother knows how to have boys.
Yeah.
Man, Lord, we kind of got a little slack on church and things like that. You know, he's using the kids for a reason. My mother, she told me, she said, God will take your excuses away from you. That's the tough stuff, man. But it's the truth. That's right. Man, Lord, we kind of tightened her a little old ship up, didn't we? We got to start putting tar in them holes. My mother is one of those people who wake you up at 2 o'clock because she had a message from God. And she didn't care if it was two. She didn't care if you had to get up and go to work. And if it bothered her too bad, she'd just drive over to the house, knock on the door. You up? No, mother, I ain't. Well, you are now. I need to talk to you. I thank God for my mother. I do. I'll tell you what, if you'll let her, she'll be your mom.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you this, she ain't going to just love you all the time. Sometimes she's going to tell you the truth. I could preach a message on what my mother said, but that I ain't read that in the Bible yet. But every now and then, God's bringing something back to my mind that my mother told me to help. And she told me that. She said, son, boy, the Lord can move your excuses out of the way where you can serve. And I took that to heart. And then years later, I got to life at it when I said, God said it to me as a child. I love you, Mama. Yeah.
Nothing wrong.
But today ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I'm a mama. I ain't afraid to say that. But my mother taught me this. Good living. Faith without words don't mean anything. It means nothing. I see people all the time struggling with the will of God. Don't struggle with the will of God. Do the will of God. The will of God, there's no need to struggle. Let me just give you a little example. Just this week it happened to me and I just had to give God thanks. You might think it's silly. You might think it's silly. And God don't always speak to me when it's your day or anything like that, but this week I was I got up and started my day and had my devotional time. Well, it was getting around dinner time, I guess, if I remember correctly. It was getting around dinner time, and I walked over to the refrigerator and I opened the refrigerator up, and there was a drink there that they have in Jamaica. It's a grapefruit drink. It's a carbonated drink. It's called Teen. And you all that's been to Jamaica's had. And when I looked at that, I just thought of Tammy, because I know she liked it. So I just sent her a text, and I said, would you like for your pastor to bring you a bottle of tea? And she texted her back and said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, under one condition, that you pray for your pastor today. He really needs your prayers. And then she informed me that it was her birthday. I think God, the scripture says God works in mysterious ways. God works in any way he wants to.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful time of fellowship just there texting each other, didn't we, Kate? Yeah. And I said, see, God knew that. God knew it, so he put you in my thoughts. That's what I told her that. And I told her, I said, I'll have you present for you. I'll have you birthday present when I get back home. Preacher, do you honestly believe that? I sure do.
Yeah.
I believe that God wants to be a part of your life in every way. Yes. You know, sometimes God nudges me. Now, I know you men don't get mad at me, but you know what? I'm on the women's side today. How's that? Sometimes God nudges me and says, you need to pay just a little extra attention to your wife. And I might just go by and get her a card. And write her or something, you know, in that card. Give it to her. It ain't much. It's just a dollar or two. But sometimes God does. He says, you need to do that. But I'm going to tell y'all something. If you keep ignoring those little nudges that God gives you, it will nudge you.
Right.
But let's keep faith without works is dead. Well, if I keep following in the little
nudges. Yeah.
How is he going to have any confidence in me? And I don't know if confidence is the right word. My vocabulary is really limited when I reference to God. You know what I mean? Ain't y'all got any good words I can use, you know, for me? I'm not that thing. It's just awesome, baby. That's a good word, but we'll use that by today if it please her. But if I won't follow him, if I won't have faith in the little, might not seem like much. But the scripture says a little bit much when God says.
Yeah.
How many of y'all feel little? Just raise your hand. How many of you feel little when you stand before an awesome God? I mean, the universe.
Yeah.
Don't you feel little? God said that I can do much in your life. You just, all you have to do is have faith in it. Tom and I were talking. I got such a blessing. I'm going to tell a little on him today. I got such a blessing. We was driving down the road last Sunday. We were just talking about our church. I will tell y'all, we talked about every one of you. We were fire, wasn't we, Tom? We talked about everybody. We just had such a good time talking about our church and what God was doing in our church and how God was using the individuals. It just was so awesome. I thank God. But we were talking about, and Tom was talking about how God had just moved things around in him and Kathy's lives that he could go on this trip. He said, I'm telling you, Fuzz, he said, God made it so convenient for me that I'm telling you, I would have just had to deny God not to go. Just would have had to deny it. And I thought, how awesome. God's just that way. But I'm going to tell you this. Praise God, there's been times in my life that I've had to move everything around that I could go. It ain't always easy. But I thank God when it is. But it's still the same God that does it both ways. God is wanting to use each one of us. He's wanting to make a soldier, a battle-tried, battle-tested soldier out of each one of us. And all I have to do is to do what he says. Faith. I believe God can do it. I know God can do it. See, the truth of the matter is the difference in those two statements is this. I can believe all I want to, but when I act,
yeah,
I know. Because God's never let me down. He's never found me one place, one time. Anywhere, anyway, God has me. And I can say, oh, I want to do what I want. I want to do this, I want to do that. The question I'm asking you today is this. What are you going to do? Are you trying? Are you listening? Sometimes God speaks to me through other people. Sometimes it's just an impression or a nudge. Sometimes, praise God, the sky opens up. Sometimes I don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? But it's always God. I can always recognize. And then sometimes down I just go, man, I ain't going to do that. I spoke to the church in Jamaica the other day as I was preaching. In 1991 or two, something like that, God sent a hurricane through Miami, Florida, that I might be able to meet over there. It's amazing that God just shook the world that I could meet one man. You say, Christian, you're crazy. No, he twists. When God makes hurricanes, he just twists it. He's fighting like that in atmosphere. There's so much energy tank it has to run off. It's like a top. You say, you got scientific stuff up? Yeah, I do. He's creative. And he sent that through Miami, Florida. And thank God for men in our community that had a desire to go to Miami and help Parkway Baptist Church put a roof back on the roof. That I might mean over that. And God sent him to South America and around there. But it's funny, a man from Jamaica that moved to the United States, became American citizen, then went back to South America to do mission work, met a hillbilly from Tennessee. God, I tell you, the logistics of God just boggled my mind. He put us together. And this week, I got to stand in front of that little church over there. Well, I'll tell you what, it's getting bigger. But I got to stand in front of that little church over there, proclaim that God works to people that won't need work. And that's just the bottom line. If you don't want God to bother you, he won't. But I'm going to tell you this, you'll never get through the door that you want to get through unless you obey. You can use any excuse you want to. Any excuse you want to. But I'm going to tell you this, you'll never satisfy the Holy Spirit. A few years back, I'm going to say this, I'm going to close. A few years back, Atlanta, Hartsville Airport, they built a new international terminal. And for y'all who don't know this, if you travel there, you probably do know this. Atlanta International is the busiest airport in the world. There's more planes take off and land there. Now, it's not the biggest, but it's the busiest. There's more planes land and take off in Atlanta-Hartsville than any other airport in the world. Well, they built this new international terminal to help people get in and out faster. If you've ever been to Atlanta Airport, you go through the front gate, either domestic or international side now. You go through, and as you walk past the ticketing and past security, you get a variety of concourses that you can go through. I think there's A, B, C, D, E, and F. talking yesterday, we got off at the international Concord, or got off at the international, and we walked probably a half a mile, I guess, every time. And Tom said, "Lord, this is about to kill me." And I kept thinking, all them years. you know, I'd say things like, "Come on, you complaining old man." I didn't say it out loud. But I will tell you, the reason I told you that is to tell you that the more you do for God, the easier it becomes to recognize that God is. A lot of people never obey the voice of the Lord, so they don't realize. And I will tell you all this. Listen to it. If you won't serve Him in the least, I pray, it ain't no use you waiting on God to have a greater life. It's just a little thing. We don't have faith in the little things. What about just a phone call to encourage somebody? God encourages. When have you done that lately? When we call the pastor, said, "Man, I just appreciate you." You don't have to lie to him and say, "Hey, man, that was an awesome message," or anything. You don't have to say that. But you can just call him up sometimes. Chuck, I appreciate you. Or call up your Sunday school teacher. I tell you, old Norman Simmons, I'm talking to my health class now. Old Norman Simmons, I appreciate you. Linda, didn't God just bless you? I tell you, God blessed me with the comments that people had about your husband. I got to read those. You know, he was that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Mickey Jones was that kind of man. I don't care where you saw him. Mickey, I'll tell you this. Lynn and Mickey, Laura and I, we were next door neighbors for years. And I'm telling y'all the truth. Mickey would be mad as a wet hair, but somehow he'd entertain you. He was just that kind of guy. And the page that people wrote about him, I just wrote it up. I read it weekly, and what a blessing. I try to put my words there. They seem to fall so short. What a blessing he was to me. What a blessing. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with helping one another along?
Amen.
Sometimes God puts it. Take a little time in your life and say, "God, use me as a blessing. I've been a pastor for 30 years, folks. I went to the hospital for people that were dying, and I'd leave, and I'd think, my lambs, they visited me. You know why? Because they had a bright hope in Jesus.
Yeah.
You be careful, you'll let the world beat you down, that you don't even recognize His voice. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't do His bidding, what have you done? Oh, I know we're busy, church. I know we are. Let's get busy. How's that? Let's do more. Let's win more. Let's reach more. Let's touch more people. Let's give more people an opportunity to give them to Jesus Christ. Well, it might not be your work. I think about Lynn, her work, and Bible drills and things like that. I've thought a time or two, Lynn, why haven't I helped Lynn? That she could do that. And I think about me leading the Bible drill team. Can you imagine that? It'd be a wrestling match, wouldn't it? You know, I'd run up one of them little kids' face. "You go a finder! You got no team spirit?" I'd have them all sitting in the floor squalling. But the Lord has told me many times on things I can't pray for, encourage her. Say an encouraging word every now and then. Let her know that you appreciate what she's doing. Lord, I tell you, that's not much expense. It's not much to do. Not much to do. And folks, do things in a church. Let them know. You might not be able to be there. Let them know that you appreciate what they're doing for them. Might not be able to be a part of that. That's okay. That's okay, but I'll tell you what's the truth, folks. We can let folks know that we appreciate their work for the church. Let them know that you love what they're doing for God. We need to edify, exhort. As Brandon opened up this morning, so wonderful. We need to exhort our people. Let them know we love them. Faith without works, surely, is dead. Let's stand to our feet today. I hope that you that you heard the message this morning. I've enjoyed preaching it to you. I know I ain't the best. I hear Mark and Jonathan preach, and I say, my Lord, have mercy. We ought to just elect them. I'm telling you what, when y'all ready to do that, let me know. I want to make that motion. I can't make one, but I believe that'd be one I can do. I just appreciate it so much. I want to be an encouragement to them. Let them know I love what you're doing for God. I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm going to tell you this. I believe this all my heart. Preachers, listen to me. If we ain't jumping 10 foot tall, there ain't going to be nobody else moving. If you ain't excited about what you do, you need to cut. I'm talking to preachers. I'm going to tell y'all church leadership. If you ain't excited about the direction this church is headed in, don't try to change the church. You change. Praise God. We got Bible for it. Let's go forward. That's our roadmap anyway. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's bidding us to go. Let's go. I know it's hard sometimes. I tell you, I didn't take no joy this week in leaving my wife. I didn't, but boy, the work, the call of the work is greater than Fred Bradley's pit. And I'm telling you, I'm coming time in my life, I'm realizing this. Ruth and Chad and I was talking this morning about it. I'll tell you what, death is chasing us hard. It's going to catch us. We're going to stand. Are we going to stand before God in judgment? I know we're going to be so wrong when we stand. But we're going to stand before God in judgment. And he look at us and say, you didn't do nothing. Or is he going to say, you've been faithful over a few things? Have you been faithful over a few things? You know who you are. Praise God. There's so many things I can say. I could preach to you all day today. Listen, we ain't nowhere near what I'm used to. I've still got a couple more hours left in. But I thank God. I appreciate my church. I want to ask you this today. Now, I'm just going to put you on the spot. You all know I don't mind doing that. I'm going to put you on the spot. Is God speaking to you today? There's something maybe you need to come here and give to God, dedicate to God, give to God. Is there anyone here that maybe just ain't been living that, you know, like you ought to, and God, you realize God could do so much more, and I know we all have a realization of that. But maybe you just told God, well, I just ain't going to. Maybe this message has helped you realize that we got to do something. Our faith, we can have all the faith in the world, but if we ain't doing nothing, it don't mean. I'm going to ask you. Then I'm going to ask you this today. If you're here and you've never met this man named Jesus, you would like to meet him today, I'm going to ask you to come for it. I know somebody said, well, preacher, I'd rather just raise my hand. Won't you go ahead and get started right?
Yeah.
Quit standing still trying to serve God. Everybody wants to be Moses, you know, and stand by the ocean and just hold out his rod and watch it peel back. Well, I'm going to tell you this, Moses walked a long way before he got to the riverside.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He made a long journey. He went to the back of the wilderness and back and then had to walk to the lake. I'm asking you today, just step out. You say, I want to be more for the Lord. Then I'll tell you, this would be a good morning to show the Lord that you did. Anybody? So, preacher, I'd like to have a song. Well, God ain't called for one. And I ain't seen nobody jumped over here ready to sign one in. I'm waiting to be invited. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit invite you? I'm going to tell you something, Bureau of Church. When we start obeying the Holy Spirit around here, we'll start realizing what church service is. A lot of us are under the misconception today that church service is our Lord's work. No, the church service is where you come and get fueled up to go do the Lord's work. That's day I was praying for the revival, God spoke to me and he said, why don't you get up and go and invite some folks that you've missed this week in revival. Even in Jamaica, they don't give you no breaks over. And I got up and I kind of fumbled around with that and I said, well, I'll get up and take my brother Tom with me. You know, everybody wants some backup. And I walked down the hallway there and I looked over. I went by Tom's room and he was just laying flat on his back, asleep like a baby. I said, well, I can't wake him up. I walked downstairs and I came back up. And the Lord said, do you want to have revival or not? Well, here I go. I just went packing down that road, you know. I hadn't went nowhere. Down off the hill there, Tammy.